Hello, it's me, Lily, a frog. I live in a pond and I love to tell stories. Gingerbread Land is inspired by Einar Nerman's 1934 story, A Trip to Gingerbread Land, written originally in Swedish, but rearranged and rewritten for retelling here at the Lily Pad by Merlene Werfel. And it's dedicated to all the boys and girls everywhere of any age who love gingerbread and Christmas, but they can't eat a bite because they're sick. Maybe they have the flu at Christmas time. Aw, kiddos, it happens. It's just bad luck. You know my lily pad is way up north, so it's actually frozen just now, deep under ice and gently falling snow, and I'm mostly hibernating under the mud. But today, I started dreaming of gingerbread, and I just couldn't stop, so I got out of bed, put my froggy slippers on, fired up my wood-powered clay oven, mixed up a batch of gingerbread dough while my oven heated up and the fire crackled, and I cut the dough into gingerbread frog shapes. And I pressed raisins into the gingerbread froggies for eyes, and they are baking in the oven right now. And my whole mud hole under a frozen pond smells so good, like cinnamon, nutmeg, and cloves. And so I must tell a story about gingerbread. Once upon a time, there was a mother who worked terribly hard all year long, but she'd take the whole month of December off to spend with her children. She had three children, a little girl who was certainly on Santa's nice list because she was very, very good, and a little boy who was also on Santa's nice list because he was very, very good, and an older girl who was also, you guessed it, very, very good, and definitely on Santa's nice list. Well, the mother loved Christmas, and the mother didn't love Christmas, both these things at the same time. It's because when she was a girl, something sad happened to her family at Christmas time, and then ever since, the bright, shiny, sparkling joy of Christmas was just as bright and shiny and sparkling, but it had turned a kind of a blue color, and the occasion became a grimmer ritual than she'd have liked it to be. So, many years later, when this mother had children of her own, she found herself determined to give them the magical, not blue at all Christmases of her childhood, from before the sad thing happened, and she set out every day in December to begin each morning with a bright, shiny, joyful Christmas tradition. Her kids would wake up each morning from the 1st of December to find a handmade gift in their advent calendars, and then after school, a homemade Christmas treat was waiting for them, something like sugar cookies, which she'd bake herself. Also, each day they'd do a Christmas craft together, such as cutting snowflakes out of paper. And they'd play a Christmas game, such as Christmas charades, and they'd learn and sing a Christmas carol together. And after dinner, the mother would lead a Christmas lesson where they'd learn about a Christmas tradition from elsewhere in the world, or about Christmases throughout history, on the internet, or from a book they'd read. And then at night, they'd read Christmas stories, too, like Dickens's A Christmas Carol or The Little Match Girl. And then on Saturdays, they'd attend Christmas-themed festivals or cultural productions, like The Nutcracker. And on Sundays, they'd perform a Christmas duty or an act of charity, like donating to the food bank or helping an elderly neighbor to shovel their snow and de-ice their sidewalk or anything else their neighbor asked them to help out with. Like all mothers, this mother was the most beautiful mother in the world. She had crinkly eyes, and she had a laugh that made her kids feel so warm and loved and like everything was just like it should be. Because it was. Her kids loved spending so much time in December with her. Just now, the mother is reading to her children from an Overachieving Mother's Guide to the Holidays magazine about how in Sweden, Saint Lucia appears on December 13th with gingerbread cookies and hot chocolate for all good children for breakfast. You know, it's Saint Lucia, the mother reads, if she has long hair, is wearing a long white dress with a red sash or a ribbon tied around her waist, she has a wreath of lingonberries on her head, and most remarkably, is also wearing on her head a crown of candles. Real candles, all aflame in the morning before the sun comes up. Saint Lucia is a symbol of Christian charity and of the solstice, when the light begins to return once more after the long darkness of winter, so that the days stop getting shorter and darker and start getting longer and more full of light. There is a recipe in the magazine for Swedish gingerbread called pepparkaka, and the mother makes a big batch, and with her children they cut the dough into shapes with cookie cutters. They make lots of gingerbread men and women. They make gingerbread stars, they make gingerbread Christmas trees, then their mother gets out a cookie cutter set to make a gingerbread train with a gingerbread train station, and wow, another kit too for making a whole gingerbread village. So they set about to cutting out all the roofs and the walls and the windows and the doors and the sidewalks, 42 pieces in all, to make it. As the gingerbread bakes, it smells so wonderful, and the mother makes icing to decorate the cookies with and to construct the train set with and the village with, but she discovers she's missing an ingredient, vanilla bean pods. This ingredient is, according to the Overachieving Mother's Guide to the Holidays, essential. So she decides to take a quick trip to the store and to leave her older girl in charge, who scored 100% on her Red Cross babysitting exam. "Here," said the mother, "while I'm going to the store, why don't you children use these last scraps of gingerbread dough to make some play sculptures with, but don't eat any. Okay? It's not cooked yet. And make sure when the timer rings to take this batch of gingerbread out of the oven and to put it on the cooling rack while the next batch goes in for 22 minutes. Okay? I'll write that down for you," she told her oldest girl. Like I said, the oldest sister was very, very good, but she often looked at her mother like she was speaking a strange other language, so writing things down for her was best. "Now remember," said the mother, "make anything you want, but don't eat any gingerbread dough. It could make your tummy sick if it isn't baked. And we're saving the cookies for tomorrow. I don't want you to ruin your appetite for St. Lucia's Day when you can have all the gingerbread you want, even for breakfast." While their mother was gone, the children rolled the dough around in their hands, enjoying the lovely smells of Christmas spices and the soft texture that was so easy to turn into different shapes. The boy made a dragon and a ship with his dough. The little girl made a squirrel, a bird, a dog, a pot-bellied pig, a swan, a star, and a Dalmatian puppy. And the oldest girl made a unicorn with a beautiful gingerbread girl riding on his back and a frog riding on top of her head like a crown. Then the timer on the oven went bing, and the big sister got out the oven mitts, and she carefully removed the tray of baked cookies and put in another. She lifted the cookies off the tray and set them on a wire rack to cool. As the cookies cooled, the children couldn't help but wonder what they would taste like, but their mother had said not to eat them, so they just pinched off just a little bit of dough from their play sculptures, not to eat, just to try, and it tasted really, really good. Well, the big sister said not to eat any more than they already had, and then they started playing a game where they were wolf puppies who lived in a den, and their mother was off hunting, and they had to be careful because there were mountain lions just outside their den, and then one of the lions got into their den, but they defeated it by working together. And when they were finished playing that game, they noticed that their mother was taking an awfully long time. It had gotten dark already, and it did feel like past supper time even. So what could they do, really, but bake their play sculptures and then eat those for dinner? Well, that's what they did, and they were absolutely delicious. And of course their mother wouldn't mind, because they'd just eat a tiny bit, not all of it, and not enough to ruin their appetites for gingerbread the next day. And besides, it seemed like if you ruin one appetite, another one just comes along soon enough after that one, doesn't it? And besides, they were just the scraps of dough. You can't just throw them away. That would be wasting food. Well, when the mother got home, she apologized for taking so long. She'd had to go to several stores to find the ingredients she was missing from the Overachieving Mother's Guide to the Holidays, and she had a rotisserie chicken with her for dinner. But none of the kids seemed interested in eating much of it. They were sleepy. They wanted to go to bed early. Well, that was fine with the mother. She wanted to stay up working on her gingerbread village and gingerbread train set and station. She had glanced at the instruction manuals, and she thought they did look a bit more complicated than might be expected from just looking at the box. So she tucked her children in bed and kissed them goodnight, and she told them she loved them, and that even though they didn't live in Sweden, she really hoped Saint Lucia would come to their house in the morning. The next thing they knew, just when their beds had gone from a bit cool to really, really cozy, there was a knock at the door. And their mother yelled, "Can you get that? I'm busy." So the children sleepily climbed out of their beds and they rubbed their eyes and went to the door to see who it could be. Imagine their surprise when the oldest sister, who was tall enough to see through the window in the door, looked out and said,
"I think it's the gingerbread unicorn I ate for sup-sups."
"It couldn't be,"
said the littlest sister.
"But it is,"
said the big sister. And it was. They opened the door, and there, astride the gingerbread unicorn, was the gingerbread girl with a frog on her head. "Good evening, children. How delighted I am to present to you a gift from the frog prince who lives atop my head. It's 3 tickets to Gingerbread Land. Is that what you're wearing? Your pajamas? Fabulous! Good choice. Hurry now, though. The gingerbread train is leaving the gingerbread station presently, which means right away." And she pointed down the front walk, and sure enough, there was a gingerbread train pulling up to a gingerbread train station, and a gingerbread conductor was leaning out the door and hollering, "All aboard! All aboard the night train to Gingerbread Land!" The gingerbread train was dripping and frosting and had peppermints for wheels, and there were puffs of cotton candy coming out of the chimney.
"But we must put our boots on, and our snow pants and our coats and our scarves and mittens and toques."
"Oh, no need," said the gingerbread girl. "It's very warm in Gingerbread Land. Though it looks frosty, it's all just icing and sugar sprinkles. You won't be cold, not one bit."
"Mother, is it all right if we travel to Gingerbread Land on a gingerbread train? Look, we have 3 tickets made out of gingerbread that a gingerbread girl gave us from her gingerbread frog."
"I'm good with it," called their mother. And so the kids ran outside down the front walk, which wasn't icing covered in snow at all, but just covered in sugar sprinkles, like the gingerbread girl said. And they ran up the stairs of the train station platform and they boarded the gingerbread train. The gingerbread conductor took their gingerbread tickets, which each had their names written on them in icing and sprinkles, and off they went into the night. They traveled through their town on the gingerbread train and into the countryside and then through a wooded area where they couldn't see much out their window because it was so dark. But there was a bright moon and lots of stars, and occasionally they could see the silhouette of the gingerbread girl on her gingerbread unicorn flying along beside them, silhouetted by the bright full moon. A gingerbread man came into their train car with a plate of gingerbread cookies and offered them to the children. They each took one and said thank you, and the cookies were delicious. Then the sun began to rise, and the children could see that they were in Gingerbread Land, where the trees and the streets and the buildings weren't regular trees and streets and buildings, but gingerbread trees and gingerbread streets and gingerbread buildings. There were even gingerbread mountains in the distance, and the littlest girl said she could see gingerbread skiers skiing down the frosted peaks and gingerbread mountain goats jumping from peak to peak. The train came to a stop, and the conductor told the children that it was time to disembark in Gingerbread Land. So they got off the train, and there, waiting on the platform for them, was the gingerbread girl. "Welcome to Gingerbread Land," she said. "First stop, the gingerbread farm. Follow me this way, children." and they walked not very far at all and found themselves in a gingerbread barn with gingerbread kittens playfully running around their feet and gingerbread geese honking and a gingerbread cow chewing its cud and a gingerbread pig nursing 8 gingerbread piglets and a gingerbread Dalmatian puppy running in circles chasing his tail. The children could have stayed there forever, especially since a gingerbread farmer kept giving them gingerbread cookies to eat and pouring big glasses of farm fresh milk to wash them down with.
I love gingerbread kittens and puppies.
But the gingerbread girl said, "Follow me this way now, children. It's time to go to the gingerbread harbor to wave to the gingerbread ships." Well, the boy loved ships more than anything, and he grabbed his sisters by the hands and he said,
"Let's go, let's go, let's go, see the ships."
And they didn't walk very far at all before they could see gingerbread ships of all kinds sailing on an ocean of eggnog and approaching a harbor with a gingerbread lighthouse and gingerbread docks. The harbored ships were tied to the docks with licorice ropes, and one of the ships had a pirate flag on it with candy bones crossed on it and a surly pirate captain up in the crow's nest of his ship shouting about how he had more gingerbread cookies than all the other pirates in gingerbread land and that he was the most ferocious and spiciest pirate around.
"It's the gingerbread pirate ship I made last night,"
said the boy. But before he could be too amazed by that, a gingerbread dragon swooped down and started breathing fire, boiling the eggnog and scorching the gingerbread boats. "Well, that's rather more adventure than I was hoping for at the harbor," said the gingerbread girl, leaping astride her gingerbread unicorn. "Come, let's make haste for the gingerbread castle. It isn't far, but it's very steep. I'll summon a carriage." She whistled, and a gingerbread carriage pulled right up with a gingerbread footman, and the carriage was pulled by the most magnificent team of gingerbread horses. The footman opened a gingerbread door on the gingerbread carriage and waved the children inside. The seats were red velvet cupcakes, and they were quite comfortable, even though the carriage raced up and up and up a quite bumpy road because it was cobbled from lemon drops. At the end of the lemon drop road was the most beautiful castle the children could ever have hoped to visit, and it was all made out of gingerbread. It had turrets and spires made of candy and gingerbread and intricate icing. They had to cross a moat made of fizzy ginger ale by traveling over a drawbridge that might have been a Belgian waffle, and as soon as they did, the doors to the castle swung wide open for them, and the gingerbread footman helped the children down from the gingerbread carriage.
"You are just in time for the gingerbread feast,"
announced a gingerbread king, who gestured to the children to sit at a gingerbread table all heaped full of gingerbread cakes and gingerbread cookies and candied ginger and a gingerbread turkey.
"Do have some gingerbread," said a gingerbread queen. And when the children had and said thank you, she insisted, "Do have some more gingerbread."
The children didn't really want any more gingerbread, but like I mentioned, they were very good children and polite, so they did what they were told, and they ate, and they ate, and they ate, because whenever they tried to stop, the king or the queen insisted they be given more. When the clock struck 6, the king and queen stood up and cried,
"At last, it is time for the gingerbread ball!"
A gingerbread band began to play gingerbread instruments at once, and gingerbread men and women began to swirl and dance around and around and around in the gingerbread castle.
"Should we dance?"
asked the boy, but his sister said they could barely talk, never mind dance, because they'd eaten so much gingerbread.
"Gingerbread? Ginger ale?" asked a gingerbread butler holding a platter of gingerbread cookies in one white-gloved hand and a tray of sparkling ginger ale and champagne flutes in the other.
Just then, the clock began to chime 7 and the gingerbread girl went galloping through the ballroom on her unicorn while all the gingerbread men and women began to wave, "Goodbye, goodbye,
goodbye children.
Goodbye, thanks for visiting gingerbread land. Goodbye. Well, imagine their astonishment to wake in their own beds, but with very full tummies, and to see their mother standing in their bedroom doorway with a wreath of candles.
real candles atop her head, wearing a blonde wig and a long white dress, which was actually her nightgown, and a red ribbon around her waist, which was actually her scarf, and holding a tray of gingerbread cookies and mugs of hot chocolate. "I am Saint Lucia," she said, "here to welcome the light and offer you gingerbread cookies for breakfast."
"Do we have to eat gingerbread?"
asked the littlest girl.
"I don't think I can because we ate so much at the castle in Gingerbread Land."
Their mother didn't quite believe that. "It's because you ate gingerbread while I was at the store, isn't it?" Well, all the three children looked away then, and they didn't answer her until the boy said,
"I'm afraid your hair will catch fire, or that you will light something else on fire in the bedroom. Can you please take the candles off your head now?"
"Oh, fine," said the mother, and she took off her crown of candles, and she blew them out, and she bit into a gingerbread cookie, and she said, "Yeah, all the more for me then." And they stayed in their beds late that morning, because they didn't feel quite so good as they usually did. "Maybe you're coming down with something," said their mother, and she put her hand to their forehead, and she tested their temperatures, and then she crossed everything off the calendar, and she didn't check her emails. She just got back into bed with her kids. And they watched the sun rise together and spill into their bedroom. They just sat, and they all felt lucky to be together.